You know, I did the same thing last in the gym. Good morning. Welcome to the April Zoning Board of Adjustment meeting. This morning, we have five of our six members here. We do have one additional member that is in transit here, and we have one open vacancy. We have two items on the agenda today. I'd like to thank Mr. Nagler for covering for me in February. Unfortunately, I couldn't make it due to a out-of-town appointment I had to go to, so I appreciate you covering for me. With that being said, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over. Mr. Belush, would you go ahead and take attendance, please, and then hand it over to our city attorney the information?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Goldberg. So I'll just let everybody know that we do have five of six members present today, including Mr. Goldberg, Mr. Aronson, Ms. Malikoff, Mr. Nagler, and Mr. Essien. Mr. Silvers is absent at the moment. And with that, I'll turn it over to Mr. Stephen Rothstein, who could let members of the public know how they may participate in today's proceedings.
Thank you, Michael. Good morning, all. Today's meeting of the Board of Adjustment has been scheduled in a hybrid format with a quorum of the board physically present in commission chambers at Miami Beach City Hall, and applicants, staff, and members of the public appearing either in person or virtually via the Zoom platform. For those wishing to participate via the Zoom platform, you may dial 888-853-5257, which is a toll-free number, and enter the webinar ID, which is 828-6961-5309, or log into the Zoom app and enter the webinar ID, which again is 828-6961-5309. Any individual wishing to speak on an item must raise the raise hand icon if they are using the Zoom app, or dial star 9 if they are participating by phone. Before I swear in those that are going to be testifying this morning, I'm going to advise everyone of the city's policy regarding lobbyist registration. If you are appearing on behalf of a business, a corporation, or another person, you need to register as a lobbyist with the city clerk's office. If you haven't registered yet, you should register before you speak to the board. You do not have to register as a lobbyist if you're speaking only on behalf of yourself and not any other party, or if you are testifying as an expert witness, providing only scientific, technical, or other specialized information or testimony in this public meeting, or if you are appearing as a representative of a neighborhood association without any compensation or reimbursement for your appearance to express support of or opposition to any item. Expert witnesses and representatives of neighborhood associations shall, prior to appearing, disclose in writing to the city clerk their name, address, and the principal on behalf they are communicating. If you are an architect, attorney, or employee representing an applicant or an objector, you must register as a lobbyist. These rules apply whether you are appearing in favor of or against an item, or encouraging or arguing against its passage, defeat, modification, or continuance. Mr. Chair, at this point, I'm going to ask the public who will be testifying today, those here in chambers, if they could please stand and raise their right hand for the oath. Okay. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony that you'll be giving in this proceeding today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you. Please be seated.
Okay, thank you, Mr. City Attorney. In your package that was sent to you, board members, we had the minutes from the March 3rd meeting. Hopefully you had a chance to look over those the minutes. If there's no corrections or changes, I'd ask for a motion to approve.
Motion,
Mr. Aronson. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Malikoff. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? I'll abstain since I was not at that meeting. I cannot vote.
Actually, Mr. Chairman, you can vote at the meeting unless you have knowledge that there was something wrong in the minutes. You do have to vote on every
okay,
item.
Okay, perfect. Thank you for that correction, Mr. Blue. So I am a yay on that, too. Thank you. So that's unanimous. Next, do we have any requests for continuances or withdrawals?
We do not.
Okay. So we have two applications. The first application is going to be ZBA 230144, 800 Lakeview Drive. Mr. Belush, will you please introduce that item for us?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is ZBA 23-0144 for 800 Lakeview Drive. An application has been filed requesting a variance from the minimum seawall height requirements in order to construct a new seawall along the property, which contains an existing two-story home to be retained. As noted in our staff report, the subject property includes an existing two-story home constructed in 1941. Now, the applicant is proposing to construct a new seawall on the property. The city code has two options for the construction of a new seawall. For a repair, the city has an option where you have to construct the seawall to a minimum elevation of 5.56 NGVD and designed for a future addition to go up to 7.26 NGVD. So that's for the repair. Or the other option is for a brand new seawall, you have to construct it at that minimum elevation of 7.26 feet. In this case, the applicant's requesting a variance in order to not construct the seawall at this time at that elevation of 7.26. They're proposing to construct it at the 5.56 height requirement with it structurally designed to accommodate the future elevation to 7.26 feet. And the reason for this is because there's an existing single-family home with an elevation that's actually below that point. So just for reference, I reference those numbers for NGVD. Base foot elevation is 8 foot NGVD, and the existing house is below that. I think it's 6.46 NGVD. So to construct a new seawall at higher than the finished floor of the house would result in a barrier or a wall along the waterfront. So because of that, the applicant is requesting a variance. The city has expressed an interest in retaining these older architecturally significant homes or homes that would be classified as architecturally significant, and to construct a seawall at that elevation right now would sort of reduce the enjoyment of the property by having a wall along the waterfront. The applicant has agreed to raise the elevation in the future if, you know, a new house was constructed on the site or a substantial improvement to the house was made. And I just want to read into the record one additional condition that wasn't in our staff report. This added condition would read, any substantial improvements to the existing home and or redevelopment of the upland property shall require that the seawall be raised to an elevation of 7.26 feet NGVD. With that, I'll turn it over to Mr. Amster, who can describe the application and the variance request.
Okay. Mr. Amster, we set the timer for, do we five minutes, Mr. City Attorney? How long do you need, Mr. Amster?
10 minutes.
Okay, go ahead and set it for 10 minutes.
Thank you.
Thank you. You may proceed.
Hey, good morning. Matt Amster with the law firm of Burke, Howard, L. Fernandez, Larkin, and Tappanis. Offices at 200 South Biscayne Boulevard in Miami. Here today representing Ariel and Lilium First, the applicants and owners of the property. And with me is Ariel First. We have also Kirk Lofgren from Ocean Consulting, who's helping them with their seawall and dock permit. My partner at the firm, Jeff Burkow. We do have a presentation, if we can call that up. Thank you. So we are here today. Here's the property. It's, you know, a single-family home. It is an older home built in 1941, and the Firsts have lived there since 1994. And over the years, they've kept it, and they are seeking to preserve this older home. And as Michael was mentioning, you know, older homes are at a lower elevation, both the floor of the home itself, as well as in the backyard. They have a foot lower pool deck and the pool itself, and then there is a slope that goes down to the existing seawall. Now, understandably, the seawalls are a concern today and into the future, you know, for quite some time, the Ariel and his wife have been thinking about putting in at least a dock for them to be out on the water and enjoy better than just out at their pool. And that's really what they're looking to do. They may have a boat in the future, but right now it's simply to add a dock. They are across from the Ritz-Carlton residence, which they're happy to say has been a nice development over there. And so that's simply what they're looking to do. And yet, when you look at the requirements of the code, there's a little bit of a disconnect. From the standpoint of preserving an older home, of which the code actually incentivizes, he could actually do some improvements and keep the home at its existing lower elevation, as well as obviously resiliency issues with you know, sea level rise and flooding concerns. So taking all of that into account, we think that we have come up with the best happy medium here. The code does have an acceptable minimum height of 5.56 NGVD, and that's what Ariel and his seawall permit are raising up to. It's just going to be actually 2 feet higher than the seawall is today. So there will be additional better resiliency in the situation there today. I want to show you these existing conditions so you get a better idea. Here's today's existing seawall. And at the far ends, at the tops of each of these pictures, I don't know if you can see the cursor. Yeah, you can see that their neighbor, there'll be a closer-up picture, but their neighbors on both sides have already redeveloped. But as Michael was saying, it's when you redevelop, right, that you not only have to have your home at a higher elevation, but the yard, the dirt in your yards also has to be higher. So their seawalls are higher. You can see that condition here. But that is when they've redeveloped. Here, our existing conditions, it's not only preserving the home, the pool deck, but also the rear yard itself. Many of these royal palm trees are very close to the seawall. One of them is about 2 feet away, that otherwise would greatly be impacted by not only raising the seawall, but these trees would be negatively impacted, probably have to be removed. And so we can help to preserve those trees in place. By still raising the seawall 2 feet, we can keep these trees. Here at the bottom, you can see what is the neighbor and how high their seawall is. But again, they have a newer home, and so their entire home is raised up. But very importantly, it's behind this green fence, and you can even see it in the top one for the other neighbor. There's retaining walls along their side yards of those properties, right, along the common property lines. And those serve, again, for protection both of Ariel's property as well as those neighbors' properties. And very importantly, not only did we vet this with the planning department, but we had Joe Gomez, the director of public works. He actually came out and met Ariel at the property to look at these existing conditions, not only the seawall of this property, but the seawall of the neighboring properties. And he has given us his support of our variance request because it's those other seawalls and retaining walls along the side yards are providing the protection that he's looking for. He's happy that we're raising up to the 4 foot, the acceptable minimum, the 5.56 NGVD amount that's in the code. So for those reasons, and again, preserving the trees, those are how, again, he can support this. And then, like I said, from the zoning regulations, there are incentives to preserve these older homes, which is exactly what the firsts are doing. So real quick, here's the existing seawall condition, and then the next one shows you the proposed dock. There are quite a number of requirements for riprap for appropriate protection. If you have any questions regarding the seawall and the dock construction, Kirk is here to answer those questions. But it's a simple dock. It's basically helping to have a viewing platform and continue to enjoy the water. So here's the section on the left is the finished floor of the home. And then you can see as it steps down to the pool deck towards the middle. And then as you come to the right-hand side, you can see that that slope that we saw in the photos. Here's, again, one of those. There's a number of trees which vary, but here's the one that's about 2 feet away. And so this hatched portion is the existing low seawall. And then this is the new cap that will be raised up, and this is to that level of 5.56 NGVD. And what's important is that acceptable minimum height maintains, you know, essentially very little view of a wall at the waterway, because here's the pool deck, and the home is a little bit higher. But if you, let me go to the next slide. So this is the variance. This is the request we're asking for. Here you have a much taller height. It's 1.7 feet higher, and will be very visible both from the pool deck and even from, you know, inside the home. And as you saw earlier from the, if I go back real quick, the view out to the water, you know, would be today, it's fairly, you know, flush with the ground level, but you would see, you know, an almost 2 foot tall wall that, again, impedes the appearance. And so collectively, again, with this conflict of... Yes.
Well, hang on. We're going to go let him finish the presentation, and I'd like to go public comment first. Okay. I think it's better to do it that way, and then we'll open it up to the board members for questions. Thank you. Continue, Mr. Amster.
Sure. Thank you. Happy to answer your questions in a few minutes. So we're trying to, again, deal with the code that I don't think is really has taken into this situation where there are many people with older homes that are looking to preserve them, and even in this case, there are also impacts to trees that we want to preserve, that preservation does have significant value, both for the owners themselves who are looking to continue with the home that they have today and add this, you know, amenity that is fairly common to many other people, and at the same time, they are addressing the concerns for resiliency by raising up the wall, providing the protection, and we do have the support of the Public Works Director, we appreciate that he took the time to come out to the property, and I know we have support from staff, and with that additional condition, that in the future, right, if they're going to redevelop, just like their neighbors, of course, not only the home, the upland would be redeveloped under the appropriate regulations, but so too would the seawall be raised. And the important aspect of this, which the Public Works Director did want to make sure, and I can vouch for you, and Kirk here can say the same, that the proposed new wall at the 5.56 it will be structurally able to support an increase whenever the property is redeveloped to the 7.26 feet that it would be required in that situation. So I think that covers us, and we do appreciate any questions that you have, and respectfully request your approval of this variance.
Thank you. Before we go to public comment, Mr. Belush, if I can ask you, you know, for the benefit of those that don't know and those maybe watching at home, these are some new terms. Can you just give a quick overview and explanation of the NAVD and NGVD? That
sure.
may be new terms to some people, and I'd just like to make sure everyone knows and understands.
Sure. So we have
those terms.
We have
Thank you.
NAVD, which is the North American Vertical Datum, and that was developed in 1988. That's the recent standard and current. That's basically a datum point for the measurement of land elevations, building elevations, with zero being the mean sea level. Prior to that, we had NGVD, which is the National Geodetic Vertical Datum. That's from 1929 and is based upon older information. So that's for the difference in elevations. For example, to convert from NAVD to NGVD, you add 1.56, I'm sorry, you subtract 1.56 from the NGVD number to get to the NAVD value, which so NAVD is always lower than NGVD for Miami Beach. Now, it's interesting that unlike, say, Fahrenheit and Celsius, where there's a direct conversion, that number of 1.56 is dependent on your location on the Earth. So it takes into consideration differences in gravity and, you know, other requirements or other phenomenon in the Earth. So that's why we're going to the NAVD number for the new standard. However, since most people are familiar with NGVD, that's the number we typically use in reference. So just another reference here, we're talking about, you know, a seawall being at 7.26 NGVD or 5.7 NAVD. For reference, the base flood elevation in NGVD is 8 feet, but that is 6.44 feet in NAVD. So that's just a brief overview of those numbers.
Thank you. Board members, there's going to be a test after the hearing on that.
That helped your confusion.
That helped your confusion. Mr. Malakoff, did you have something to add to his comments? I thought, no? Oh, I thought I heard you add.
No, I just have one question before we get into the discussion. Have there been any ex parte communications? I overlooked asking before.
Yeah, any disclosure? Thank you for remembering that.
Thank you.
I should have remembered what both of us should have. Any disclosures? Well, let's go. Let's go one at a time. Mr. Nagler?
No.
Mr. Aronson?
I guess. Mr. Lurie, are you here on this matter? Do you have an interest in it? Okay. He's a friend of mine, and I'm just...
He's everybody's friend.
Yeah.
almost everybody.
But I would also disclose that I have had cases and done some business, not major, with Mr. Burkow's firm over the years. I'm unaware of anything presently going on, but I would disclose that. That's it.
Okay. Mr. Essien?
No.
Ms. Malakoff?
No.
And no, I have not either. So thank you, Mr. City Attorney. With that, what I'd like to do now is open up the public comment. Do we have anybody on Zoom, Mr. Belush?
There is nobody on Zoom with their hand raised.
Okay, do we have anyone here for public comment?
Yes.
Okay, please come to the podium. Say your name and address, please.
Good morning. My name is Ariel First. I'm the applicant along with my wife at 800 Lakeview Drive. The only thing I want to let you know, a little bit of background where I'm from and how I view this whole situation. As already mentioned, I've been living at my home since 1994. I've been living on Miami Beach since 1970. This whole thing started, quite frankly, way pre-COVID. I had Bruce Mowry, I forget what his specific title was, but chief engineer or public works, what have you. And I had him come over to my house because I was contemplating doing work on my seawall. And we actually had the discussion that we're having exactly today in terms of whether it was a new construction, and if I demolished my home and wanted to build something new, yes, the seawall would have to be higher than what is being proposed in front of you today. But he clearly said the fact that I am already, I'm not planning on destroying the home or demolishing it, just essentially putting in a new seawall, that should not be a problem. I can go up to just raise it 2 feet instead of 4 feet. So with that, you know, in back of my mind, I went forward, and then, of course, COVID hit, and I just stopped everything because I didn't think work was being done, both from a governmental point of view in approving things or from industry. So I stopped doing that, but then I picked it up afterwards, and I was having smooth sailing with DERM and the feds and the state until this particular issue came up, and I'm not going to address the technicalities or the engineering specs of anything, but just from a layman's point of view, I did not want a bunker in back of my house because that's what, I could play racquetball with the proposal that that you're going to have if you had a brand new home, and I wouldn't do it. So if it was an issue of doing that or nothing at all, I'd do nothing at all, and I'd hate for that to happen because I'd prefer to at least raise it 2 feet. It'll be aesthetically pleasing for people, going up the waterway, and it'll be more secure with sea level rising and so forth. So I respectfully ask that you approve my request, and we'll go from there. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. First. Anyone else for public comment? Okay, go ahead and close the public comment. I'll open it up to the board members to be recognized for questions. Mr. Asian?
Yeah.
Can I make a comment?
Sure. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you want a public comment?
Yes.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Can we reopen public comment?
Not as advocate for the applicant, Jeff Burkow, 590 Lakeview Drive, and I live down the street from Ariel. He's a neighbor of mine. And one thing Ariel didn't mention is that he's essentially been living in a construction zone for the last 7 or 8 years at least, as his neighbors on each side successively raised the pre-existing homes and built new homes around him to current flood level standards. And then across the street as well, there was major construction. As a neighbor of his, I feel for him, and I think he's in a very bad situation the way the code is currently drafted, and I ask that you support and vote for this variance. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Burkow. Any other questions why public comment is reopened? Comments? That being said, we'll go ahead and close the public comment. We'll open up questions to board members. Mr. Asian, you want to go ahead, please?
I have a quick question. In the diagram that you had where the seawall is raised, I don't know if you could put it up, but if it floods right behind the seawall, is there some type of drainage between the seawall and the lawn?
Yeah, Kirk, why don't you?
Good morning. Kirk Lofgren with Ocean Consulting, offices at 359 Alcazar now. At this point, Miami-Dade County does not allow us to drain back into the bay. That's a rule that they have. We're not allowed to sheet flow. So we fully expect on the backside of this, when there is a little bit of fill added, that drainage will happen behind the seawall. So if we have a higher up situation here, you're going to get
right.
more.
But I guess it would seep between the seawall and the – is there space? There is no space, right? It
no, just there gets is. Stuck there. There is, actually. There so is. When you do construction of these seawall panels, the panels are typically 9 to 10 feet in length, and there's a gap, about a 6-inch gap between them, and there's a king pile that holds them vertically in place. And then there's also a batter pile at an angle. But at that gap, that 6-inch gap, you will get that seepage through the seawall. It's not completely watertight.
Right. Yeah. Perfect.
But that's
takes
designed
time.
That way
I'm
to
just
keep the
thinking
pressure.
About as the applicant having a pool there sort of when you have rains like we just had.
Agreed.
And the neighboring property, is that at 7.2, the seawall height?
They are.
Is there a cap of how tall can you build the seawall, out of curiosity?
Well, technically, it's up to Public Works, but the technical maximum cannot exceed what would be allowed for the yard elevation in the rear yard, which would be BFE plus 5, so a pretty, pretty high elevation.
Got it. And why would they need to apply if you're saying that in the event that you're doing a modification, that you're not rebuilding a house, you can build it
to 5?
No,
because the code says if you're just renovating or repairing the seawall, repairing a seawall you can do is what they're showing. For a brand new seawall, the code requires full compliance with the 7.26 height. And their argument here is because of the existing home, they don't want to go to that height at this point because they're not redeveloping the entire property.
I get it. And do you think that we should continue having this rule the way it stands or should
we work on modifying it? Oftentimes, like we've seen in cases where part of the reason why the Board of Adjustment has received fewer variances over the years is occasionally the city reevaluates applications that have come here, and then if we have a lot of sub-applications, then the city can say, maybe we need to modify the code. If there's something inherently an issue with the code, then we modify the code to avoid these types of variances. That's just something that could happen. I'll give you another circumstance. We had a requirement several years ago for raising yards to a minimum elevation. That was a problem when you had existing homes adding on to them. So we provide an exception for existing homes when you're doing additions or modifications. You do not have to elevate your yard. So something equivalent to that could happen here in the future.
I think what they presented makes total sense, and I would definitely not want to – if it was my house, I wouldn't want to have it raised to 7 as well. So I would recommend that we have a modification.
Yeah, it seems like it would be easy something to address easily with a code amendment in the future.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Thank you, Mr. Astion. Any other questions from the board?
Yes.
Darren? Ms. Malikoff, then I'll take you, Ms.
I was on the commission when these rules were first put into place with the 7.26 NGVD, and when I first read the application, I would have voted no until I got to the part that said that when the gentleman is putting in the wall, you're making it structurally so that you can bring it up to, so if the home at some point in the future, a beautiful home done by a wonderful Miami Beach architect, Roy France, if that home is demolished in the future, the seawall can go up to code. And there was a reason, because of the rising sea levels, we really would like the whole city to have that 7.26 NGVD at some point.
Thank you, Ms. Malikoff. Mr. Anderson?
So I have some questions regarding the dock. I have some questions regarding the dock. It doesn't seem to be in your depiction. How wide, how long, and what is going to be the height of the dock?
So at this point, the height of the dock is going to match the height of the seawall. So if we're talking in NAVD, it's plus 4.
Right.
NAVD. If we're talking NGVD, it's 5.56, which is a little bit high, to be honest with you. But we think, as engineers and scientists, that height is the maximum height that should be allowed for a dock, right around 5.5. Just given the lower tides, it's more difficult to get on and off a boat. But we're trying to match that seawall height.
Right. So there'll be steps from the property up to the top of the seawall in order to have access to the dock?
I believe you're going to continue the ramp down.
I'm sorry?
Are you going to add any steps down to the seawall from your property, or we're going to keep the ramp down? If I'm understanding your question correct, I think the ramp is going to stay.
As I see the depiction, there's a step up to get to the top of the new seawall.
Right. That doesn't show any fill that's going to be added infill, so
okay.
It should be relatively level.
I got it. And how long and wide is it going to be?
It's going to be roughly 6 to 7 feet wide. It varies because the shoreline slopes, and we want the edge of the dock straight by about 60 feet.
Okay. Does that area support a vessel to be attached to that dock, or is it just for...
No, it does support. It does support a vessel. On both sides, they support vessels. To the east, they have a dock that extends further out, actually, and they can put a vessel on the outside. And to the west, I believe it's similar to what we're proposing.
So I think you indicated that surrounding this property, the seawalls are 7.26 NGBD.
Correct.
In the general area, are they all 7.26, or are there other walls now at 5.56 or below?
There's definitely other walls at 5 or 5.6 or below. However, a lot of them, as Mr. Workow was suggesting, are being raised now. Yeah, just as a result of the construction in the area.
Being raised from 5.56 because of the new construction,
no,
or up to 5.56?
Being raised higher to 7.26.
Right. Yes. So after this project were completed, would this be the only property on the block that's at 5.56, or?
No. No, in fact, there will be properties that are lower because some of the existing homes still remain. I don't know how many, but some of them do still remain.
Right.
You might know.
A lot.
Yeah.
Other than the two homes that are east and west of me, that is brand
new. Excuse me, sir. Can you come up to the mic?
Oh, sure. Sorry. Yeah, I didn't do a survey per se, but anecdotally, I would say the majority are still the older homes that have not been raised.
Right.
And so certainly I'm the eighth house in 800 Lakeview from Alton.
Right.
And I would say seven of us are older homes. The only one that's brand new is literally the one right next to me. But then beyond that, the other six homes are older. And then going the other way, the first one next to me is new. The one after that is old. The one after that is new. And then 3, 4, 5 are old. So the majority are going to be lower than my proposed seawall, but I'm willing to go up 2 feet.
I understand. And final question, which I think is probably obvious, but yeah, the seawalls here are going to adjoin the seawalls from the neighboring properties. There's not going to be a gap, correct?
Correct. No gaps. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Aronson. Mr. Nagler?
Yeah, I have a number of questions. I think first for city staff, is substantial improvement, the term substantial improvement and the term redevelopment of upland property, are those defined terms so there's no wiggle room on that issue?
Yeah, that'd be defined for review by the Public Works in terms of substantial improvement. In this case, they're doing a brand new seawall, so there's no discrepancy here that they're doing any sort of repair. It's all brand new, so talk about the house.
So I'm referring to one of the conditions in the order says that they. I think it says shall. Does it say shall?
Yes.
I hope it says shall. It says they shall, bring it up to 7.
So substantial improvement would be something that's valued at 50%. More than the existing value of the house.
So it's a defined term?
Yes.
Subject to however you define the value of the house.
It's basically how the building department determines when you have to comply with all the building code requirements. So right now, for example, if they were to propose an addition onto the house that was greater than 50% of the current value of the house, they would have to bring the entire house up to current code requirements, including elevating it to a base flood elevation.
Okay, and what about quote-unquote redevelopment? Because it's and or... redevelopment of upland property, is that a defined term, or is that wishy-washy?
That implies a new house. Redevelopment implies you're doing everything new.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm rolling here.
You got it. Go for it.
So I think similar to Commissioner Malikoff, I was a little concerned about this. I, as a property owner in the city and a resident and a human on this earth, I think this is an existential issue for our city, is raising seawalls, sea level rise. I think it's an existential thing. So I'm just, the property owner raises an interesting point where he basically says, if you don't grant this, I'm just going to stick with my current one, which is four something. So I sort of feel like I'm being, in a way, strong-armed into this. But, I mean, that's his right to say that.
Excuse me, just to clarify, I didn't mean to strong-arm anyone.
No.
I'm saying the bunker look to my home would be so outrageous that it would outweigh any benefit of anything. That's you know, right now when I walk the side of my house, when the two other homes are elevated, I am eye contact with their pool filter is above me. I mean, so I can just imagine that on the backyard facing the water, it would be nuts. So it wasn't meant anything other to show how bad raising it all the way up would be to me, to my wife, that we would say, as much as it hurts, we would abandon the project.
I don't mean anything derogatory by that. I'm just saying you have the right to say that and to take that position. What I'm saying is it puts, I think, us in an interesting position, because I certainly would like to see the seawall come up, even if it's only the additional 2 feet like we're doing. So I plan on supporting this today. But I'm sure the code is there for a reason, for the 7 whatever, and I'd like to also support that concept. So along those lines, and I don't need to know the details, but whatever it is that the way this new seawall is going to be built that allows it to support in addition to get to the 7.26, are those means and methods of construction that will allow it to have that addition built on top, are those accepted standards in the industry? So is this going to be, can we rely on the way this is going to be built so it can have the addition?
No question, you can rely on it, yes.
Okay. Did we hear any, I know we had a neighbor here, but what about the immediate neighbors? Have we heard anything from them? Immediate adjacent neighbors?
Yeah, I mean, Ariel's, you know, lived there for many, many years. He's reached out to many people about it, and we actually did provide a letter of support from the neighbor to the east.
Okay.
Was not able to get a letter from the neighbor to the west, but also haven't received any objection at all from anyone in the nearby area. But definitely one letter of support from the neighbor to the east.
Okay, thank you.
Can I ask Mr. Belushi, was that letter included in our package, the letter of support? Because I don't remember.
Did you include those?
We shared it with staff, so I'm not sure the timing of it. But the gentleman's name is Andrew Joblon, and he did sign a letter of support. I may have a copy in here that I can pass out.
Yeah, I would just ask that going forward, you know, when we have letters in support, really, or against, I think we need to be purview to that, to review. Because, you know, council could be saying that, but we don't have an actual document that we were able to look at which says that. And I know it's not a he said, she said. I know, obviously, you're going to be telling the truth, but I think it's important that we know that we have that paper from the neighbor, you know, clarifying.
I got one.
That indeed did I miss it?
No, I just got one more.
Oh, yeah, one more question?
I didn't see
no,
the
you're
letter.
You're all out of questions. Don't tease me. Go ahead.
No, I'm with you. I didn't see the letter either. But all right, one last question, I think. That's the famous last statement. So, again, I understand we're going higher than where we're at now, which I think is awesome. With that said, the difference of what we're going to from 5.56 to 7.26, I think, is the difference of, I mean, that's essentially the variance that we may be granting today. That difference of 2, how does that, what is the likelihood of increased damage to this gentleman's property and his neighbor's property in the event of a category 3 or 4 or 5 hurricane when we don't have that extra 2 feet? How does that correlate?
Well, I think just practically speaking, the two neighbors that are higher will be more protected than he will, just generally speaking.
It certainly would have, not certainly, would it have some impact? I mean, those 2 feet matter in a situation like that?
It depends on the intensity of the storm, right? But because he's lower, he is more likely to have some higher level of impact if it's a significant storm. But generally speaking, you're talking about really catastrophic for it to have any impact on his property either. The 7.26 elevation is very high now, right? We're going to the 5.56, which is also high. So even now, he'll be significantly protected from storms under the current proposal. It would really have to be catastrophic for there to be significant damage to his
But property. You could also argue that if it was higher, then he would have more of a pool inside of his property and flood his property even more.
No, nothing's perfect for sure.
I could just tell you from experience that the roads were raised on Palm Island, and I own two properties on Palm Island, and the road is raised around Palm and Coconut, creating a pool effect on my parents' property. And for the first time that my parents have owned that property in 60 years, they actually have flooding inside the house because of that same situation. So I could envision that possibly happening if we did raise his sea level, his sea wall to 7.2.
Yeah. Any other questions? Were you done? Mr. Aronson?
I just want to make a short comment with regard to – I'm not sure I totally agree with Commissioner Nagler on the existential issue that arises.
Is your mic on? Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Want me to repeat?
Especially the Commissioner Nagler part.
I'm not 100% sure that I completely agree on the existential argument, because I think that we can take solace in the fact that the commission has enacted a code which specifically provides for a minimum height. And I'm sure they've had a lot more input, and they're wiser, at least, than I am in terms of determining that height. So I personally am comfortable with the proposal here.
No, and just to comment back, I plan on supporting it, and I guess the point is that the commission has come up with a number,
right. And
they're asking us for a variance to go down from that number. So that's my only point. They're asking to not go to the number that the commission has determined is appropriate under the circumstance. But I hear you.
Any other questions from the board? If not, I'll give my comment on it. I think this is going to be an ongoing issue in the city of Miami Beach, you know, and as a banker who finances a lot of these teardowns and we do the construction loans, the issue is, you know, the people in the older homes, you know, they get upset because, of course, the new homes could be built higher up and they're going to be down here. My dad's a great example of that on 59th and North Bay Road. Eventually, one day, you're going to have to do something. You know, the fact that Mr. First is he's going to be in better shape now than when he was because he's going to be higher,
right.
You know, but he's got a historic home. It's not a new home. And if someone comes in there and offers him a certain amount of money, which someone probably will one day, everyone has their price, and they demolish the home, they will have to bring it up to code. But if that seawall has sustained, you know, many, many years of hurricanes and high winds and all that, he's going to be in better shape, even though he's not meeting the minimum code of the 7.26. So I'm going to be a yes on this. Based on that.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments?
Mr. Chair, this is a copy of the letter of support. I'll just hand it out so everyone can see it.
Thank you, Mr. Amster.
I believe you. I accept your representation.
Okay. If there's no more questions from the board, would anyone like to entertain a motion?
Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Aronson?
Yeah, I'll move to approve this variance.
Okay, move to approve as stated in the order,
yes.
By Mr. Aronson.
Yes.
Got a second from Mr. Silvers. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Motion passes. Congratulations, Mr. First.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
Thank you. Thank you for coming in. Okay, give him a minute to clear out and get settled, and we'll start the next one.
Hi, Jeffrey.
Okay.
No, it's ours.
Okay, we'll give the applicant a minute to get set up.
One second. Rolling myself here. That's correct. That's it. And we'll put it up when you ask.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to go ahead. The next item on the agenda, the second item and final item, is going to be ZBA 230148, 1439 Alton Road. Will you go ahead and introduce the item, please, Mr. Belush?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is ZBA 23-0148 for 1439 Alton Road. An application has been filed requesting a distance separation variance from a religious institution in association with a new bar. As noted in our staff report, the applicant is proposing a new bar in an existing two-story building on Alton Road. The site contains three existing buildings, two one-story buildings at the front, separated by a covered terrace leading to the third subject two-story building at the rear of the site. The applicant is proposing to convert the existing building located in the rear to a new bar with a variety of seating areas. The Design Review Board recently approved exterior site modification to the site, including an outdoor seating area under three new canopy trees and three reconfigured parking spaces perpendicular to an access from Lenox Court, which is the alley. The applicant is requesting one variance, and this is a variance from the minimum 300-foot distance separation requirement between an alcoholic beverage establishment and a place of worship. The nearest place of worship is the Pentecostal Church of God, located approximately 204 feet from the proposed new bar. Unless an alcoholic beverage establishment is also operating as a restaurant with a full kitchen, the minimum distance separation requirements apply. Now, the subject property, like others along Alton Road, is zoned CD2, which is commercial medium intensity. However, the properties immediately to the east, separated only by an alley, are zoned single family and are part of the Flamingo Park Historic District. Due to this close proximity to this historic single-family district, staff did note some concerns with the outdoor seating associated with the new bar. In order to mitigate these concerns, staff is recommending that the outdoor portions of the business close by 9 p.m. Sunday through Thursday and 10 p.m. Saturday and Sundays. Additionally, we are recommending that the entire operation, including the interior portion, close by 2 a.m. every day. Finally, staff is recommending that a progress report be presented to the board within 90 days of the commencement of the operation. At that time, the board could reevaluate the proposed hours of operation. So we are recommending approval of the application subject to the conditions outlined in the draft final order, which can be found on page, it's at the end of the board packages. So I'll turn it over to Mr. Pacheckoff.
Before we do that, do we have any disclosures? No disclosures?
I don't know when this property was bought, but I do remember selling this property like about 15 years ago, but I don't know if it's to the same owners that own it now.
Edith Wagoda.
Is it? How long ago did you buy the property?
Oh, no. We would be leasing it.
Oh, you're leasing it. Oh, I don't remember, but I mean, I wouldn't have any issues with the property. I don't even remember, but I did sell this property about 15 years ago, and I don't know who owns it now.
You know, I did not realize that. I believe I might have a mortgage on that property, to be honest with you. So I'm not sure, Mr. City Attorney. I really did not know that because...
What'd you say?
Is there a way to, way to check? Is it
not you personally?
No, it's not me. No, it's not me personally, and I don't handle the relationship. I don't handle the relationship.
Because I think once the bank holds...
Yeah, the bank, I mean, yeah. So and I didn't even know it. It would not affect my judgment in one way or another.
Then no.
Okay.
You can participate.
Okay. Thank you. It's always a surprise, right? Mr. Backstreff, you want to go ahead and make your presentation?
Yes, thank you, Honorable Chairman, members of the board. My name is Ian Bachekov. I am with Ackerman Law Office in 98 Southeast 7th Street here on behalf of Abby Casita, LLC, the owners of which are here with me, Ray Ragazio and his wife, Maritza.
Hello.
Yes. Also here with us are the architects, Thomas Weber and Julio. Just a little bit of background here, and if we can put the presentation up that we've prepared. Thank you very much. So Ray is the owner and operator of the Abbey Brewing Company, which is a beloved brew pub of this city that's been around since 1995, located on 16th Street, just east of Alton Road. We're here today basically so you can decide the future of the Abbey on Miami Beach. It's really as simple as that. We were here just last month in front of the Design Review Board. At that time, we were expecting to hear the entire application, including variance, which is how it was pushed forward by staff. But once we got to that meeting, it was determined that the variance has to be heard at the BOA. So it was re-noticed, resent here. The DRB approved what they could approve, which was specifically with regard to the design of the establishment as we were proposing it, and the approval of the exterior, as Mr. Belush had mentioned. So we're really here just for this one piece, the variance. Unfortunately, Ray, in his current location, where the Abbey Brewing Company is located, the landlord's not going to be renewing the lease, or wants way more money. They have plans to redevelop, and so he's essentially being forced to move his bar. They looked everywhere within the vicinity because they cater to the locals in the neighborhood. They are a neighborhood pub. Locals go there. It's local residents, people who work here in the city, who work late. This isn't a party establishment. There's no entertainment. It's a place to hang out, relax, laid back after work, essentially. And so this was the only location they could find that was even viable as a potential location where they could move to. So the request specifically is to allow the variance to operate within at 200 feet away from a place of worship when 300 feet is required. I want to note that the most important consideration and the thing that we can bring to you today is a letter of support, or really a letter of no objections from the church, from the pastor and their secretary. And I have copies here I can provide to all of you in case you haven't seen them. But the church is confirming they have no objections to this variance.
I think that's from the church. Yeah, I think we did have that sent out to the board members.
Yeah, I emailed everybody yesterday.
Yeah, we got it. So thank you so much.
So the subject property is located at 1439 Alton Road. It's in the CD2 district within the core commercial corridor of Alton Road, about two blocks away from Lincoln Road. As you can see on the map, the red dot showing where it's located. And the reason we put the map like that is so you could also see, if you go up a block and a half, you'll see also the location of his existing bar. There's a little yellow dot where Yardbird Table is. It's immediately to the left of that in that same building there, so towards the top. So it's moving not even two full blocks away. Everything to the east gets residential zone, so there's nothing there. Everything to the west is already filled with tenants. So this was really the only and the closest location he could find to try and keep the core of his regulars within range, so to speak. And that's really necessary to be able to continue to serve his loyal customer base and preserve that goodwill as the neighborhood's local watering hole. So here's a couple pictures. It's a two-story small building constructed around 1935 in the Mediterranean style. Picture to the left is the facade frontage along Alton Road. You may recognize it as the location of the Lime Mexican Grill on the right side. The left has been vacant a while. It used to be a barber shop, and then it was going to be built out as a medical marijuana dispensary. That never happened, and fortunate for Ray and Maritza, it became available so that they could potentially make a home here for their new location. You'll notice the entrance to the what would become the bar is set back from the frontage. There's a gate, and it goes into a courtyard, and then through that courtyard is where the actual entrance to the bar would be. So pretty substantially set back from the right-of-way with a landscape covering it, so almost a hidden entrance even. And that's one of the reasons the setbacks, not just on the front, but on the back. You'll notice on the picture on the right side, that's a picture from Lenox. Right now it's empty, dilapidated, used only for parking, and even then, just kind of a dirty mess. Nobody's using it. And so we thought it would be a perfect spot, and really I give that credit to Maritza to create a lush garden landscape to go with this concept. So here you can see the existing site plan. You'll notice, so La Casita is the building that's set back the most to the east, pretty much center of the parcel. So it's got a pretty decent setback from both sides of the property lines. And to the rear, even at the property line, there's an additional 20-foot setback before we get to a concrete block wall that is at the property line of the residential use that's adjacent opposite of the alley, which also has landscaping and essentially faces the entrance to their backyard. So here's the proposed site plan for the venue. The interior of the building would be reconfigured with an interior bar and lounge seating. And on the exterior to the rear, we would be creating beautifully landscaped outdoor garden and seating area. We would also be reconfiguring the parking spaces so that they would match how parking is configured in the rear of all the rest of the lots along Alton. The neighbors to the north and the south all have parking in the same manner, vertical into the lot, the way we're proposing it there. This design also gives us an appropriate ability to do a landscape buffer between over the seating area, between the seating and the parking, and adjacent between the parking, the seating area, and where the dumpster enclosure is, which is all the way at the property line. You see to the northeast side there, there's an existing dumpster enclosure, which will actually be upgraded to add the AC and make that comply with current code. Those dumpsters are shared with the Lime restaurant. One of the requirements is to have daily pickup, so that's not an issue because nobody wants to have food in the trash for more than a day at a time. So additionally, one of the biggest reasons for the need for an outdoor terrace is because they don't allow smoking in the bar. They realized people don't like it, and it actually increases revenue when you don't allow smoking. So it creates an area for smokers as well without bothering people who are in the interior drinking. And also very important, we're not proposing any music, no exterior speakers, no entertainment use. So really the only noise that would be coming from this area is, you know, people chatting while they're having a drink. I'd also add that, as Mr. Belush mentioned, if we had a kitchen and were a full-service restaurant, we wouldn't even need this variance, and we could serve full liquor until 5 a.m. by right. So I think that's important to know. As a matter of fact, there's a restaurant neighboring immediately to the south. So there's Lime, and then there's another restaurant with outdoor seating, and they're open with alcohol. No issues there. So here's a detailed floor plan of the proposed interior. Concept is a little bit different than the Abbey since it needed to be adapted to this specific space. It's really meant to be cozy, quiet, neighborhood hangout where you can have a conversation with friends, bring a date. A little even more relaxed than the Abbey is, but very different from the types of places where the tourists go, where there's thumping loud music, and this is not meant to be a tourist destination. This is meant for the locals. Ray intends to focus more on his cocktails here, without neglecting his award-winning beers. And he's going to even be using the gardens in the exterior to grow herbs for those cocktails. Additionally, you'll notice the seat counts. We're only proposing a maximum of 40 seats in the interior and 20 seats in the exterior. So that's also a way of helping mitigate the noise. Can we do another 5 minutes or so?
Okay. Do another 5 minutes, please.
I'll try and speed through it. Just for reference, here's a floor plan of the second floor. It's all storage. Nobody's allowed up there. Employees only. Just storage. So let's get a little personal now. I want to highlight Ray's reputation in the city as just an absolutely fantastic operator. He created the Abbey in 1995, and it really is an institution down here. Frankly, it opened when I was still in fifth grade in North Beach Elementary, that long ago. And speaking of reputation, the thing that I think is the absolute most impressive, yeah, besides making him feel old, is that in those 27 years of operating, he's never once received a noise violation. That has to mean, that has to count for something in this city, to be able to operate a bar for 27 years and never once receive a noise violation. Frankly, it's unheard of to me. So I have many clients who will get a noise violation in their first week, let alone first 27 years. So, you know, we hope that'll give him a chance in this location with this board. Knowing that Ray and Maritz are the owners, this is really a mom and pop small business. They don't have a lot of money like other big developers in this city do. And so, you know, we know renderings can be expensive to put together. So instead, what we did was put together a mood board here so you can get a general idea of the feel that they're going for. Interior aesthetic reminiscent of classic speakeasy, dark, moody decor. Personally, I don't think there's any better ambiance for having a quiet drink. And on the outside, the aesthetic is a little more bohemian, softer outdoor patio centered, lush landscaping, accent lighting, with the buffers to ensure it all stays on the property. Here's another one. Our goal is really to emulate other popular, great establishments that are operated well on Miami Beach. One of them that Maritza will mention when I let her come up and speak in a second is Casa Tua. That was her vision here, to try and create something that looks a lot like that, a serene garden, a place where people can have a conversation and have a drink. And truthfully, I think this concept is kind of missing from Miami Beach and South Florida in general. I think it's something that would be a great addition. So I want to remind everybody, the reason we're here is for a variance, right? That's what you're voting on. That's what we're proving, what we're seeking to approve. And we have a letter from the place of worship saying they have no objections. It's really, they're the reason we're here. If we didn't need that variance, again, we wouldn't be here either. And so, you know, in their letter, they didn't ask to impose any restrictions in our order or limit our approval in any way. However, you know, planning staff has mentioned they have recommended a limitation on operating hours. And frankly, what they're recommending would be akin to a denial. It just would not work for the business. So the one thing that we would be requesting, and we would otherwise be in full agreement with the proposed order, it would be to simply delete conditions 1B4 and 1B5, which discuss the hours and instead allow us to operate by what would be allowed by code by right. If the city commission in the future were to change the hours that are allowed in the city, which we know is a big topic and something they're talking about all around the city, we would be bound by that. As a matter of fact, we all know when they approved the reduced hours south of 5th Street, they specifically excluded these small locals bars because they know those aren't really the problem. That's where people go to have a quiet drink. That's not where the tourists go and what's really creating the problems in the neighborhood. And again, if they had a kitchen, 5 a.m. would be by right as well. It's in this location. So we do understand staff is well-intentioned in recommending the hours, but we do believe that we have a very good basis for mitigating any potential issues. And I'm just going to go down this list quickly before I finish my presentation. First, you know, if his reputation isn't enough, never having a noise violation, we believe the residential uses to the east are adequately protected. Number one, we're limiting the number of seats. We're not asking for any entertainment. We're not putting in any speakers. We're limiting access. So the only reason anybody would even go out in that direction toward the alley would be in the event of an emergency, as an emergency exit.
Give two more minutes. Two more minutes, you can wrap up?
Yeah, two more minutes.
Perfect. Minutes, please.
Apologies, thank and thank you. The residential use has a tall concrete wall. It has landscaping behind it and in front of it. We've got a total of 50 feet and 10 inches between the seating, the edge of the outdoor seating area, all the way to the edge of that wall of the residential property. And as a matter of fact, looking at Google Maps, there's another 30 feet of backyard behind that wall before you even get to the home that's on that property. So we're talking over 80 feet and 10 inches between where people will be sitting and having their drinks quietly and anybody else that could potentially even become nuisanced by any noise there. Second, Ray, again, is a very responsible operator and has been doing this for a long time. I don't think there's a worry here that they're going to create a problem like some other locations around the city that the neighbors have issues with. This is not that type of concept. That's not that type of establishment. Lastly, and you know, the real kicker here is that even if you did give us a chance, even if you did remove these conditions and allowed them to operate at the hours the city would allow by right, we have a progress report here. So if anything happens that's no good, that they're creating a problem or a nuisance, within 3 months after opening, they're right back here. You can consider that, and you can cut their hours down at that time. So at this time, really what we're asking for is a chance. And so with that, we would respectfully request approval of this variance with the deletion of those two conditions. And otherwise, our whole team is here available to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you, Mr. Vekhtrov. Let me go ahead and open up the public comment. Do we have anybody on Zoom? Mr. Belush?
There is a couple people with their hand raised on Zoom. I'll call on the first speaker, Robert Seeley.
Mr. Seeley,
good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Mr. Seeley, before you address the board,
you want to swear him in, Mr. Seeley?
Okay. Please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you'll be giving in this proceeding is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
It is.
Okay, and I'm going to set the clock for 2 minutes for you to address the board.
Thank you very much. 2 minutes will be plenty. I shall be very brief. I just want to say that I am one of the regulars at the Abbey, that I go there. I go there quite often. They serve excellent beer, so I go there. And it's in all my visits, it's always been an extremely well-run bar that I've been going there for over 20 years. And in that time, I've never seen any trouble whatsoever. There's never any excess noise or trouble for the neighbours. And so I see no reason why Mr. Rigasio should not be allowed to continue to operate until 5 a.m. at his new premises. Thank you.
Okay, our next caller is Lindsay Lovell.
Good morning, Lindsay.
Good morning, board.
Good morning. Before you address the board, I need to swear you in.
Go ahead.
Okay, please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony that you'll be given in this proceeding is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay, and I'm going to set the clock for 2 minutes for you to address the board.
Thank you very much. My name is Lindsay Lovell. I am reaching out to you guys today on my individual basis as a resident of the neighboring Flamingo Park area. I actually wouldn't consider myself a regular at the Abbey, but I have been there on a few occasions in the 8 years that I've lived in Miami Beach. It's always been a wonderful establishment. And actually, the most recent time I was there, I had the opportunity to meet the owners of the establishment. And they are absolutely lovely people. I only found out about this change yesterday. But I think the concept they're proposing is wonderful. I do believe that given their history, the continuation of operations until 5 a.m. without those conditions on that order, especially considering the progress reports, would be appropriate in this instance. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else?
With that, that's our last caller on Zoom.
Okay, is there anybody present in the public who wants to speak? Please come up. State your name, please, and address.
Good morning. My name is Jeff Powell. And the reason I'm up here to speak is that I have been a regular patron at the Abbey since it was open in 1995. And I would like to urge the board to do whatever legal use is allowed at the property. Ray runs a very professionally run bar. I have never seen one iota of any negative behavior, a real cheers type atmosphere. I work swing shift. At times I get off at 4, and I understand that the hours is a bit of an issue, but that in this type of bar without any rowdiness, I don't think that there would ever be a complaint. And it's fantastic that the garden area can be used because people want to be outside and do al fresco. So I'd like to urge the board to make it happen so the Abbey concept can be relocated a block and a half south and continue this community asset. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else in the chambers for public comment? Please come up to the podium. State your name, please.
My name is Maritza Regazio, and madam, gentlemen, my husband, this is a labor of love. This is his life. He loves what he does very much, and he does a wonderful job. The community loves us because we have a lot of the doctors from Mount Sinai. My family's been in Miami Beach since the 1940s. So a lot of the doctors there, you know, friends, family. And we also have a huge amount of people from the service industry that have no place to go when they're done working. So most of the people that come are people that want quiet. We want to create like a sanctuary. And Casa Tua was my inspiration because I love that place. I was there since it opened. And it's just so beautifully done. And it's peaceful. It's quiet. It's done incredibly well. When we saw this property, we thought, oh, that would be just perfect. So that is our inspiration. And I hope you take all of this into consideration. Have a great day.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Last chance for public comment. Okay, with no one else being here for public comment, we're going to go ahead and close the public comment. I'll go ahead and recognize any board members through the chair who have questions. Okay, Mr. Silvers.
I'd like to find out, number one.
Put your mic on.
The first question I have is, the properties to the east of you on the other side of the alley,
yeah,
they're residential homes, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. My concern, my one question is that since your hours of operation are till 5 in the morning, you're going to have headlights from the cars coming down the alley to park in the spaces behind the bar, correct?
No, those spots are going to be for employees only.
For employees only?
Correct.
Okay, how are you going to enforce that? Because the regulars are going to see that they could
signage
park
and towing
in the alley.
If you're going to speak,
please come to the podium.
Yeah, what he's saying is there's really
please,
only...
Please state your name.
I'm trying to protect the residential people, not only from noise, but for the light during the night that cars will be coming in and out of that alley.
Right.
We need to do something, Corum. Let the applicant answer your question, please, Mr. Silvers.
Ray Regazio, the owner of the Abbey Brewing Company, 10058 8th Street, Miami Beach, Florida. Thank you very much. The back area is just for people that work on the premises. It's not open to the public. There won't be any cars going in and out of there. Most people will probably either take their bicycles or Uber it to the front. There's no parking for customers whatsoever.
There's no parking on the street either, correct?
There's parking on Alton Road.
On Alton Road, that's what I'm talking about.
Right, but there's no homes on Alton Road. Alton Road is
all... Keep in mind, there's no parking requirement. It's because it's 60 seats or less, so there's no parking requirement for the establishment.
But for operational purposes...
Can we put the slide up on the screen so you can see what I have here?
Yeah.
So this is a picture of the alley. The top left there shows the residential use. They have a wall with landscape going above it. It will completely block any lights coming from the alley in that direction. But on top of that, where the outdoor seating is, the way that the landscaping and the lighting is going to be done, it's going to be directed at the seating to avoid any lights shining away towards the alley. And so really, other than headlights of cars, and that could be anybody going through the alley, not just people parking in our spaces, but one of the reasons why we put those spaces that way is so that they pull in, the lights never shine back at the residential uses.
Right.
If we need to require front parking only, we're happy to make that accommodation to ensure nobody goes and backs in and shines their lights at the residential wall.
And the businesses adjacent on either side of the Abbey, Abbey?
Yeah.
What kind of operations are those?
To the south is a strip mall. with a restaurant, which is the closest use, with some outdoor seating facing the Lincoln Roadside, and there's several other uses that the church is in there. I believe there's a like a mini mart, and then a bunch of vacant spaces, as a matter of fact, to the and maybe a barber or a salon as well. To the north side, there is also a strip with I believe there's actually a liquor
store. A liquor store. And a 7-Eleven.
And
it used to be Bell and Appley Pizza, but they went out of business.
Yes.
So to the north is commercial, and to the south is commercial.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
My pleasure.
Questions?
Yes.
Ms. Malikoff?
I have a few concerns.
I think your mic on?
I have a few concerns.
Sure.
I understand that you're not required to have parking, but I'm still wondering about the number of cars coming to the bar in the evening, where they, on earth they're going to find places to park if they have cars. It seems that even though it's not required, that there should be some parking required, provided for the customers. That's number one. Number two, is music being planned?
Light music in the interior only. No music
nothing
outside.
Outside going no. to the outside 20 seats?
No.
Okay. And I have a problem with 5 a.m. And I will vote against it if it's at 5 a.m. I think
for the entire
for
interior
the entire,
as well?
Yes. Okay. I just believe that 5 a.m. is too late. It's right next to the Flamingo Park Residential District. I'm surprised you didn't hear from the Flamingo Park Neighborhood Association, whether they're for it or not or against. We have no idea.
All right. Well, with all due respect, the Abbey currently is in the Flamingo Park section, and we have a condominium approximately 20 feet behind us. The houses are going to be 80 feet behind us, and we have no noise violations for 28 years. So
That's something to be very proud of. It really
thank you,
is.
But I firmly
but
believe.
But you're on Collins Avenue now, right?
No, we're on 16th Street in between Alton and Lenox.
Right.
And directly behind us is a condominium of about 80 residents. And I think it's, what's the address, 1560 Lincoln Road, which is directly to the north of the Abbey, and not one complaint.
Now you have a very good reputation. I think that's important.
Thank you.
But nevertheless, I think that entitles you to 2 a.m.
Well,
I will note that he does almost half of his business between 2 and 5 a.m. because it's those locals with the late shifts that get off work that are really who he caters to the most.
Right.
You go into
his
bar.
There was a Mexican restaurant located in the same area.
It's in the same area.
It's still there.
It's called Lime. It's just to the, west.
I'm going back years, so I'm not sure it's the same Mexican restaurant. And there were a lot of complaints from Flamingo Park. I'm going back maybe 10 years.
Oh, from Lime. Yeah, back then they had business. Now it's very slow at Lime. So I don't think you'll hear too much from there. But
as for the parking, I would note his current location doesn't have any parking other than one or two on-street spaces.
Right.
Again, because it's locals, you know, people are walking there from the neighborhood. They're not driving or they're taking an Uber because you're going drinking. You don't want to have to drive home. So in that regard, there really isn't much need. And because of how close it is to Lincoln Road and the parking garages, to two-block walk, is that's leisurely on Miami Beach.
May I also note that there are 5 a.m. Businesses directly across the street from us. You have the Drunken Dragon, and now Foxhole just opened up directly across the street.
So Drunken Dragon is a restaurant.
It's a restaurant.
Drunken Dragon's a restaurant, but Foxhole is not a restaurant, and that's still 5 a.m.
And the restaurant is still with full liquor until 5 a.m. as well.
And that's closer to residential than we are.
But that residential is a condominium across the alley.
It's a condominium.
But this is a homes across the alley here.
Right.
Correct?
But we have
family oriented.
Right. We have the setback. We have the no noise outside. We have the wall. We have the plants.
And I'll note they all got notice, not just of this hearing today, but last month's DRB hearing, which also included the variance request on that notice. And we've had absolutely no objections.
Yeah, I can state that we have received no objections. We have advertised this both for DRB and Board of Adjustment.
Do Do we have any more questions from the board, Mr. Astian, and then we'll do you, Mr. Naglafter.
So I have a lot of memories from this particular property because it was my daycare growing up back 45 years ago or so. And the back was a garden because that's where the playground was for the kids. My only going to what they were saying is those properties on Lenox, like 1438 Lenox, which is directly behind it. It would have been nice to get, you know, some kind of notice from them saying, hey, listen, we met with the owners. We like it. It's cool. We're not going to have an issue with it. It's not that it's a requirement, but it would have been nice to have. And I understand that if it was a restaurant, we wouldn't be having this conversation, although the kitchen requirements and all that would be a lot more stringent. But but I get it. So my only concern was that it would have been nice to have that recommendation, that letter from the homes directly, you know, backyard to backyard.
Right.
But congrats to you for not having one noise complaint in your establishment. Your current establishment, I haven't been to it. I would love to go and buy. Do you have an outside right now?
No, we don't really have an outside.
You don't have an outside. Okay.
I would be remiss if I didn't let Ray parade this to you guys.
We also recently received a proclamation from the mayor basically stating that I can read it. We'll get my glasses here. Getting older now.
It says you're a great guy.
It says I'm a great guy, yes. It says the Abbey Brewing Company is Miami Beach's oldest tap house located in South Beach. They have historically served as a haven for locals and tourists alike who prefer a more intimate bar setting. And whereas the Abbey Brewing Company has 27 years of history in the community since their founding in 1995. Their experience has earned them the title of best bar, best beer, and whereas their brewery takes pride in their attention to detail and creativity. In addition to their specialty curated selection of guest drafts and micro-distilled spirits, they have drawn inspiration from Belgian Trappist-style ales to create their signature creations. And whereas the Abbey Brewing Company offers a laid-back space where guests can get the full experience of a brewery, complete with dartboards, a pool table, and an esteemed collection of cigars, which we don't really sell cigars anymore, but at the time. The Abbey Brewing Company offers an authentic brewery experience. Now, therefore, do we, as mayor and commissioners of the City of Miami Beach, hereby proclaim June 26th, 2022, as the Abbey Brewing Company Day. Signed by the mayor.
Were you always open until 5 o'clock in the morning?
We're up until 5
in the morning. No, I'm saying for those 20-something years?
Always, yes.
Always.
Since day one. I think we'll do Mr. You want to? Well, I had you next. Go ahead, Mr. Nadler, and then we'll come to you, Mr. Aronson. Thank
all right,
you.
I need some clarification on this time thing, I think from staff. Because this is exciting, by the way. We got two, like, real deal issues today. Sea level rise and timing that establishments can stay open. I know it's in the court systems. It's been in and out of the court systems, the whole thing. What's the deal with the time thing? Like, if we allowed them to stay open until 5 a.m., is that another variance we're giving from the timing, or are they allowed to stay open until 5 a.m., and you're requesting that we shorten that?
That's not a variance. Right now, if they're allowed, they could operate a restaurant until 5 a.m. They just can't operate a bar without coming before you. If the board doesn't place any conditions on the variance, then the default of 5 a.m. would apply.
So the default meaning like the law, like they're allowed to stay open until 5 a.m. unless we as a board say no.
Right, unless the board places conditions in the order, they'd be allowed to stay open until 5 a.m.
So why is staff, and I'm sure it's in here, and I did peruse this book, but why is staff saying that we should not give them what they're legally entitled to at this property?
No, because they're asking for something more. They're asking for a variance. So it's not something that – this is not a restaurant. If this was a restaurant, they're allowed to come as of right. There's no variance needed. Then there's no provision for us to require a lesser hours of operation. However, as part of the variance standard review process, it talks about, you know, hardship criteria. And one of those is the granting – of the variance will be in harmony with the general intent and purpose of the ordinance, and such variance will not be injurious to the area involved or otherwise detrimental to the public welfare. So as part of this hardship criteria, we do evaluate that, and that's why we provided a recommendation in terms of hours of operation for both the outdoors and for the entire operation.
Thank you. Yeah, and my read on this, and I'm probably getting this wrong, but it seems to me like based on the testimony we're receiving, well, first of all, I think the variance we're here on is the distance, and then it comes with this element that we consider as part of the distance issue. So I think we're approving or not approving the distance, and then we decide if we put conditions in. The testimony I'm hearing, without a scintilla of evidence or testimony to the contrary, is that it would be a hardship for them if it doesn't stay open until 5 a.m., and that, in fact, there's no evidence that it would be not harmonious to the neighbors. I mean, we could each come to our own conclusions, whether it would be harmonious or not, right, based on the distances and the history, and we can all decide whether it's harmonious or not to the neighborhood. But based on the evidence before me, my conclusion is there's nothing to show that it's not harmonious, and that they would. My understanding is they have to come back or they have to do some sort of a status report anyway, and I think that's fair and reasonable. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Aronson.
He's asked the question that I specifically would have asked. I have two thoughts, but the first is more of a question. And that is that you've indicated that the denial of allowing you to stay open until 5 a.m. would be fatal to the this new venture. Maybe you could amplify on it. What do you mean by that?
Well, so between 35 to 45% of his business is done after 2 a.m. You take away 35 to 45% of your revenues of your business, you're going to have more expenses than revenues, and that's not a business. That's a failure. There's no point of moving forward after today if he can't be open past 2 a.m. because he won't be able to pay his rent and make money.
So I'm going to push you on that a little bit. If, for example, this board were to determine that we're going to limit the hours until 2 a.m., you would not go forward with this project?
It would be very difficult. All the service people...
As judges would say, yes or no.
Yeah. You know, I really love the house, and I know it's going to be a great project. It's tough to say. What do you think, Babe?
It would definitely...
If you can speak, please come up. Please come up. Thank you.
It would be an extreme hardship.
He has to defer to his wife.
See, part of the Abbey is we have a daytime crowd where people come in and you have your happy hour. And then you have like a little lull, and then you have like another crowd that goes till about 12:30.
And then you get all the people that leave the graveyard shifts at Mount Sinai and the service people that by the time they wrap up and they do their tips and everything, it's like already 2 o'clock in the morning.
So by 2:30,
then by 2 to 5,
we're busy.
You know, I don't mean to dissuade you, but if we were to approve the application as you're requesting and citywide the hours change, which is a possibility as I understand it, to 2 a.m., you're going to be in the same situation.
Well, they did do a 2 a.m. south of 5th Street,
right?
With exceptions.
Yeah.
So where our particular use is going to be 60 seats.
Right.
I believe it's 100 seats.
Yeah, we fight one battle at a time, because if we don't get this, there's nothing to lobby to keep us excluded the way Ted's was excluded south of 5th Street.
Okay, so. I got you. So let me tell you where I go with my analysis here. We're here on a variance because you're proposing an establishment within 300 feet of a house of worship.
Yes.
Yes.
And the house of worship has approved your proposal.
Yeah.
I think there's a dissonance here. I don't see how, whether you're open till 2 a.m. or 5 a.m., affects the house of worship.
I don't either.
And that's really that's why we're here. We're not approving the building or anything of that nature. Yeah. So, as far as I'm concerned, I have no problem with you abiding by the general city requirements and staying open until 5.
Thank you.
Conclude. Did you want to rebut to him?
I'm good.
Okay, good.
Unless you have a question.
Are you good, Mr. Aronson, or do you have another question? Because I think Mr. Nadler has another one, or did someone who didn't speak yet have
a question? I'm finished, thank you.
Mr. Silvers, do you have a comment or question? And then I'll come back to you, Mr. Nadler.
I asked my questions.
Okay.
Yeah, Nadler. Yeah, thank you. I don't want to get crazy here. This is probably a little outside the box. I know it's the hours, I guess the standard hours are 2 and 5, depending on various factors. I know we already have a stated objection or no vote or no vote to the 5 a.m. It's already been stated. It's outside the box, but is there such thing as like 4 a.m.? Or, I mean, I know it's a little crazy, but, you know, how much of your business is between 4:30 and 5 a.m. or 4 a.m. and 5 a.m.? Is there a reasonable compromise that is usually, I think compromise is often a good way to solve things. And I don't want to create some weird precedent for the city, but is that something to consider so that we can get unanimous or passing votes on the board today?
Mr. Belushi, you want to explain what the board can
do? I
want to
say that in terms of the alcohol hours, they either would get a 12 a.m., 2 a.m., or 5 a.m. liquor license or alcohol license. However, the board could, you know, say that you have to close at 3 o'clock. They would still have to get the 5 a.m. liquor license. But if the board said you have to close by 3 a.m., they would have to close and stop serving at 3 a.m.
Or 4 a.m.
Whatever time.
4:07. I'm just kidding. Okay. Yeah.
But they also have the bar right across the street, Drunken Dragon, which is open up to 5.
And I think it should be till 5, but I also want to make sure we pass.
And Foxhole, which has no food.
And I would defer to Michael and Steven, but my understanding is we need 5 out of 7 votes.
You need 5 votes, correct.
We need 5 votes, and we have 6 here. So,
I think we have Mr. Silvers, you have a question?
I'm going to get back to the neighboring east of you.
Sure.
The neighborhood is residential. I'm looking to maintain their value. So if there is a problem, yeah, there is a risk of a problem of noise or light, that those values of those homes that are taxpayers are going to diminish in value, that neighborhood. That's my concern. I just want to voice that. I just want you to know that. That is my concern. To maintain the value of the neighborhood in behind you, which is east of you.
I have
questions about whether or not an operation beyond 12 o'clock at night should operate with alcohol involved so close to residential homes.
So, no, and we really do appreciate that concern, and what I'll say in that regard is, so first and foremost, if we get denied and we don't go in there, what's to stop someone else with a restaurant?
I live in a home on Miami Beach.
Yes.
I lived here all my life.
Yes.
Yep. In 2 different areas. And I would not like to have a bar separated just by an alley behind me, especially if I had kids that have to get up early in the morning to go to school.
Yeah.
So those are my concerns. If you can answer those concerns, then I can support your application. If you can't, then I can't support your application.
So one of the things that we could compromise on is the hours just for the outdoor area, which is closest to the residential area, maybe limiting only the outdoors to 2 a.m. That way the bar can maintain its business on the interior.
Wait, I think, Ian, I think in terms of you already agreed at the beginning to close the outdoor area at 10 p.m. Sundays through Wednesdays and 11 p.m. Thursdays and Saturdays.
So that was in the, I guess, based on prior staff recommendations, again, trying to come to a compromise.
I think that was based upon the operation plan that was submitted. But I'm just going to say, if the board does want to entertain going to later than 2 a.m., then I would definitely think you need to place restrictions on the outdoor areas.
No, I think the outdoor, from what I understand, staff wanted to roll that back an hour and make it 9 o'clock p.m. and 10 o'clock.
Wow.
In the actual write-up, for the outside, in the write-up, it was 10 and 11. So did you understand that you were going to be allowed to have the outside 20 seats serve until 5 a.m.?
No. So you know, we of course know what was in the staff recommendation, and that was based on what we had initially proposed in the initial application, and they went with very low hours, I think 9 and 10 p.m. on weekdays and weekends. And our request here was to simply cut out all the hour restrictions. But again, the main concern, the ability to do business, is 5 a.m. on the interior. So on the exterior, if we need to reduce hours to help protect the residents, which we believe that they'll already be adequately protected based on the way he operates and the way that it's going to be buffered.
I thought that was the actual why it was done, because I thought in reading it that you were okay with 10 o'clock and 11 o'clock for the outside. Are you expecting anything beyond those times for the outside to be able to serve?
11 o'clock, isn't that the standard time when you can't make noise on Miami Beach outside?
Because on the outside, I would understand that.
They're
trying to roll it back another hour.
Oh yeah, I think 11.
So I guess, you know, if you're okay with,
I'm okay with 11, 10, 11 outside those, and 5 inside. I'm fine with that.
Just want to make sure get clarified. And I'm sorry, Mr. Eston, I know you had a question. Thank you.
Yeah, in all fairness, your current bar doesn't have an outside. Foxhole doesn't have an outside, and Drunken Dragon really doesn't have an outside.
But the restaurant immediately to the south, Alakash, does have an outside.
And they're open on the outside until what time?
They have happy hour.
I mean, they have the right to be open.
Yeah, but that's the front, right? The one that faces Alton.
Yes.
Right,
it doesn't face the alley. So
this
would be a set of weird precedent for the houses that sit back there. That's why I said I even would have liked to have gotten, you know, some kind of recommendation from the houses behind. I definitely would not think that you guys should be open that late in the back. I would take staff's recommendations, or, you know, to make sure that that doesn't happen. And also, in the event that there is a code issue, that those houses start complaining, then, you know, then you have an issue. Obviously, that hasn't been the situation in the 28 years, but also there hasn't been an outside.
Well, people leave.
Of course, but
go, there's an alley.
But you leave to the front, right?
Right.
So, and this situation's a little different.
Yes.
And so, although I'm all super pro entertainment, I just think that it's important that the peace of the residents, which is also extremely important, especially when they're abutting the back of the property, has to trump that situation. So
we're residents too.
Man. Yeah.
Of course.
We don't want to rock the boat.
And
we love Miami Beach.
And also remember, you know, if the church wasn't there 200 feet away, we wouldn't need to be here for a variance to subject ourselves to hours, even though
they're closed during those hours anyway. So
it is there and you're here. I just want to say, if the board is going to entertain operations after 2 a.m., I would suggest we include a condition as was proffered that 5 a.m. time closing time does not vest them in terms of that right to keep that hours if the city commission changes the hours for this district in the future.
And makes sense.
And that's how we were requesting it, to just simply remove the condition. That way the city code would apply.
But I want to make sure we'd add a condition stating that you would not then try to argue that because you have a variance I've seen this before in other applications.
And anything in city code that would change the hours, you have to abide by it.
We're in agreement.
Something that would need to be in the order.
The law is the law. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. If they change the law. Yeah.
Any other questions? I have one. I'm going to be the last. I'm going to save.
Everybody seems to be making conditions. Why don't you do a continuance on this item and make it specific so the city can work out specific conditions rather than going back and forth here conditions that are getting a little confusing.
The reason why is because his lease is about to run out. Where he is currently, we were hoping to get the approvals last month.
But if you don't get the 5 votes,
yes,
I'm suggesting to go for a continuance, so it spells out a way to the city to enforce the hours and make it clear to you, rather than having it discussed now.
We were already in agreement with what he's proposing for that restriction.
Well, that's subject to the, I mean, our recommendation stands as is. I think if one of the board members wants to make a motion to approve or modify with their own modified conditions, that can be discussed.
Yeah, let's get through the testimony, because I have some comments, but I wanted to wait because I wanted to be the last one to do that and see. I don't want to put the applicant in a position where, you know, they're being told that they should do a continuance. I don't think that's under our purview that we should be telling them. Council knows what he needs to do. So I think let's finish and see how this wraps up, and then we'll take it from there. Does anyone else have any other questions?
Yeah.
Mr. Nadler.
Sorry. One is just to clarify. If we allowed them to stay open until 5 a.m., that's not a condition. That's actually, it's not a condition. That's how it is. So the only condition, there's a singular condition, my understanding, regarding the time issue, which would be when they have to close the outdoor area. Correct. It's a singular condition, and it deals with the piece of land that's closest to your very valid concern, which is the neighbors behind. So you're not only indoors with a concrete block wall or something, but you're also, I don't know what the depth of that courtyard is, but you're that many more feet removed. I also want to float again, if there's any, I don't know, it's a sliding scale, but is there a time that's better for certain members of the board? 4:30, 4 a.m., 3:30, whatever it is, because I think that's what we're here for today, is to have a meeting and to discuss. And, you know, I'm curious, because it sounds like there's obviously some sliding scale. 2 a.m. seems okay. Where does it stop?
Okay, thank you. Yeah, let's hold off on doing any negotiating on the time right now. Anyone else have any other comments? Okay, so yesterday I hate to say it, but I didn't know where it was. And I put it in Waze, and it took me like to Lincoln Road. So I parked my car off of Lincoln Road and literally spent 45 minutes, and I walked, and it took me all over the place. Yeah, I was dripping wet by that time. And then I didn't realize it was right next to Yardbird. So I went there. I looked at it. I took pictures. I went in the back. I wanted to see how the back looked. I kept my car on Lincoln Road, and
that
I walked over to the—
That was you yesterday? Because I saw someone taking pictures.
That was me. That guilty was as charged.
Okay.
Then I walked over to the new location because I wanted to see how long the walk was. And to be very honest with you, at first I got a little confused because I thought the location was going to be the vacant space in that 7-Eleven strip right next to Lime, you know, the property that says for lease.
Yeah, right.
And so then I looked at Lime and all that, and then I'm going last night. I'm studying the items again in the package to say, wait a minute, that wasn't the building. It's actually the Lime building. But I'm like, right, where can it be? Because Lime's not going out of business. So I went early this morning. And I parked in the 7-Eleven parking lot, and I'm standing in front of Lime taking pictures, and the manager of Lime happens to pull up on his bike and opens up the door. I introduce myself. I say, what's the back of this location in Lime and everything? Now, remember, there's a gate. Lime has a gate, okay? So I'm talking to him, and long story short, I said, can I see? Can you let me in? He opened up, and he walked me through it. He didn't open up the gate. He opened up the door where he would go in as the manager to open up the location. And then I saw where the doors were. You know, Lime has all their tables and chairs right there in the middle, and then you have the door. And then I walked to the back because I wanted to see the back to see where are you going to be putting these tables in the back. So the back is a shared and you can correct me if I'm wrong. This is what he told me, is a shared parking lot.
Yeah, it's okay? A parking lot.
So is that where you're proposing to put the seating?
Yes, yeah, so okay. What we're proposing to do is closest to the house is to have the 20 seats. Where that garbage room was, towards the back of the property? You have the.
We can put it up. There's a picture of that.
You want to put a picture of that up, PJ?
Yeah, there we go, the bottom right there.
Yeah, so right now, it's a mess. It doesn't look nice back there.
And that's paid. It's paid.
It's brick. It's paid.
It is so paid, right.
It's brick.
So I walked back to this morning.
What we're planning on doing is recessing the gate approximately 20 feet, so the cars could park straight in, the three cars. And then closest to the house is building like a landscape, like almost like a sanctuary, like a garden.
Who owns that parking lot? Does Mrs. Wagoda own that parking lot?
Parking lot is owned by—
That building belongs to Mrs. Wagoda, but that building also has other tenants that she owns, correct? Or you're the only tenant for that building?
So we're the only tenant for that building.
So Lime is a tenant of the—
Yes, there's
of the,
three,
of the same owner.
It's a triplex.
Right, so that's what he was explaining.
You have Lime, And then you're going to have us and the house, and then you have the barbershop. So it's three. So right now, only the barbershop, us, and Lime can park there. That's it.
So how are you going to control when they have the right to have – there's only so many parking spots back there. I still don't understand how you're going to control and be able to set up – I think in the plans you have 20 seats. Was it four tables of five?
Five tables of four.
I don't understand how you're going to be able to do that when you don't control that space in its entirety.
Because we have permission from the landlord to do it as long as we maintain the parking. So –
Under the lease.
Okay. Yeah. I got that. That's where I'm asking the question, because I just wanted to validate that.
We're actually paying for the lease.
No. I understand. So I have a little bit more. So for those of you that didn't go look at the site, you know, when I think of a church, what do you think of a church? I think of a freestanding church, right? The church is in a strip center. There's bottom floor and top floor, and there's other tenants in that commercial building, and they're on the top floor. So to me, as far as approving the variance, being within 300 feet of a church, I am a yes. That's to me, that's not an issue, because they won't be bothered. They're separate. They're, you know, it's like a commercial storefront where the church operates out of. The concern I have, and I just want to get clarification, you know, in the proposed order, and I'm going to read it, with the exceptions of emergency egress, all patrons shall enter and exit from the west side of the building. Again, west side is not the beach side, it's the Alton Road side.
Correct.
Signage shall be included in the alley indicating this requirement subject to the review and approval of staff. Okay. So I asked the manager of Lime, what are your hours? And he said they close at 10 o'clock at night. Okay. I said, well, how are patrons – so when you're open, that gate is open, and patrons of your establishment will walk through there to get to your establishment.
Exactly.
Okay. I said, what happens at 10 o'clock? We close the gate. Everything's closed up.
Well, that's
how are your patrons going to get in there if that gate is closed?
We have a key, and we're going to
Once they open, we're going to be in control of the gate.
So
No. I know, but you have a key, but you're going to have to let everybody in as they come in. Or you're going to open up that gate and keep it open so they can walk in.
Yes, the gate's going to be open all evening.
May I interject and let me make it?
Well, I know that. That's why I'm trying to clarify.
Okay. So what happens right now is Lime. The reason that they close is they have a problem with homeless people that are actually living in the garbage room and in the alley. So what they try to do is they close the gates in the back and they close the gate in the front because they don't want these people, you know, doing something that they're going to have to clean up after. So that's the problem now. The minute that we become part of this group, everything changes because now we will be the guardians of the property until we close. At that point, we close everything, and then when they come in, they do their thing as usual. That is not going to be a problem. We discussed it with Edith.
So then basically once you sign your lease and you move in...
We already signed
it. Okay, Lime cannot lock that gate at 10 o'clock. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely.
And that's is that in your lease?
Absolutely not.
Because they have all their tables there too. And the concern that the manager brought up was that your patrons are going to wind up going and sitting at their tables in the front.
No, we actually have a person that is a guardian of our business. He used to be an ex-policeman, and he's there every night, and he takes care of making sure that everything is perfect on the property.
Right. But we also have a lease that says we have the right to egress and ingress.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure you were covered. Yeah. That's why I was asking the question. Because you know it's in the proposed order, and we do not want people, they should not and cannot come in through the alley, because that will create traffic, and then the residents will be in an uproar.
We don't want them coming.
You know, I wanted to make sure of that. I'm sorry. Did you want to say something in response to me?
That is in the proposed order, and I'm so glad Maritza mentioned. And I don't know how it slipped out of the presentation, but the current condition of that alley is not just the fact that it's unused and it's empty there, but there are vagrants, homeless people, trash being dumped there. Nobody's taking care of it. Lime doesn't care what's in the back. People walk into the front from them. So we would essentially clean it up if we go back there.
But if it's open that late, aren't you just going to have the same issue where some homeless people come in there? Or you're going to police it, have security or something?
First, we're going to have a gate. So you have the cars parking in, and then the gate in front of the cars, and then the bushes. and then there's going
to be... I'm sorry. I was back in the front
entrance.
The front? How are you going to... Oh, so the homeless... Because I'm assuming you're saying the homeless people coming in the front, okay. And that's why line locks the gate at 10 o'clock.
Actually, more of the homeless people are in the alley, you know, eating out of the garbage, so on and so forth. We're going to beautify the whole back to make it 10 times nicer than it is now.
You're actually modifying... when I took a picture, well, you probably saw me taking right. it. I took a picture of your sign, and you're actually modifying your actual hours. They're different. Your existing hours are Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. to 5 a.m., right. Saturday and Sunday, 1 to 5, and you're changing them to Monday through Sunday from 1 to 5, and outdoor patio will be open from 1 p.m. to 11 p.m. Monday through Sunday.
Right.
I mean, it's a slight modification, which you have the right to do. I'm just curious why you're modifying your hours, because your patrons are used to those hours at that location.
Right. Before COVID, we were always open 1 p.m. to 5 a.m. So I figured, let's just go back to 1 p.m.
Going back to their normal.
Yeah. So before I open up, because I'm sure I have drawn maybe other questions from the board, you know, I will say this. I'm fine with the variance as far as the separation from the church. I'm fine with the 5 a.m. You're entitled to it. And I don't feel anyone should take that away. And we all know if the city changes the ordinance, it has to be, you have to apply to it and it will be in there. As far as the outside, I don't agree with, you know, the staff recommending to roll it back to 9 p.m. closing outside Sunday through Thursday and 10 o'clock on Saturday, Sunday. I'm fine with 10 o'clock Sunday through Thursday and Saturday and Sunday 11. I think 10 o'clock, you know, during most of the week is fine that you close. And also, as part of the ordinance, if we wind up doing this, there will be a 90-day
right.
Come back and yes. review.
Sure.
And the hope would be there would be no noise violations, no complaints. Again, your record is stellar in the community, which, again, I'm born, you know, my dad's 89. He's been here 85 years. I'm born and raised here. It's almost unheard of in the business.
Thank you very much.
As Ms. Malikoff said. So it is something to be proud of. So, thank you. So that's my take on this and how I would feel and would vote, and I'll open up for any more questions.
Does Lime sell beer?
Yes.
And hard liquor? No.
Well, they have those mixed.
They have the.
They're
fake,
very delicious.
The wine based.
it has something that's not beer in it.
Yeah. They have wine based margaritas.
Wine based.
Yeah.
Okay. Do we have any more questions from the board?
I would love to be able to buy a burrito from Lyman and buy a beer from you.
Absolutely. That's the idea.
Honestly, so I'm just thinking about those tables that are in the front. Why it would behoove you to...
They're going to want to be open later.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
they're going to want to be open
that
until like
Lyman, those tables, there might be some type of synergy between both of you and create somewhat of a food court.
We're next to Ceviche and Yardbird, and Ceviche says that we give them 25% of the revenue because we don't have food.
And by the way,
Yardbird probably 15%.
Lime is owned and operated by the same owner and operator of Yardbird, which is...
Not anymore.
And the landlord of his current...
That's a great point. Have you had discussions with Lime, like the on-site manager or proprietor? How do they feel about you moving in there?
I mean, they've had the space for 20 years, so they kind of feel like, you know, we're intruding on their space. But now that I'm starting to talk to them, I'm like, look how much money you're going to make. We don't have any food.
That's going
to
be an important relationship. It's
going
to be a very important relationship for both of you.
Yeah, yes. Because that front courtyard is theirs under their lease, and so they would have the right to pick up and move those chairs out of the way at night, right? So there is absolutely
and there is no one here, you know, Lime didn't come, no one came to contest it, so, and I saw the sign posted, so they knew that there was a hearing this morning. I even told them the hearing's this morning.
Yeah, it's going to be a win-win for them.
The manager, if you want to go watch the hearing, so he's not here, so. Yeah. Okay, if there's no more comment, I don't think I can do a motion as a chair, right? So, anyone like to put a motion on the floor, Mr. Nagler?
Sure. How you, Mr. Chairman, stated it, which I believe is... approving the variance, which is to 204 feet, and having the sole condition as to time being the outdoor area, which I believe you said was 10 a.m. during certain days and 11 a.m.
Yeah, well, let's clarify for let's clarify the record. So Sunday through Thursday, outside could be open until 10 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday you can close at 11 p.m. and you're okay.
Okay.
No. This is how it was staff had it, you know, Their recommendation was 9 and 10. 9 Sunday through Thursday and 10 Saturday and Sunday. But the write-up said you were asking for 10 p.m. closing outside Sunday through Thursday and 11 o'clock on Saturday and Sunday. Are you okay with that? I'm not rolling. I'm recommending. He's recommending
yes.
not rolling.
Yes, we're okay.
Clarification, you're saying Sunday twice. Sunday through Thursday and then Friday and Saturday. So what's Friday and Saturday and what's Sunday through Thursday?
Right. Okay. So, I don't know if I can take a straw poll. Is moving from 9 to 10 or 10 to 11, is that going to change anyone's? Okay. All right. It won't impact anyone's vote. All right. So the motion is to approve the variance, which is a distance issue, to 203 feet or 204 feet, whatever it is, and with the sole condition as to timing be that Sunday through Thursday, the outdoor portion only must close at 10 a.m. Thank you.
10
p.m. I can't get
right.
this. And Friday and Saturday through 11 p.m.
And just to clarify, the other conditions in the order will remain as already in there?
Right. And the other conditions, as well as a condition that any timing is it won't be grandfathered in. It's subject to any ordinances by the city, right?
And we will get a progress report in 90 days per number 10 in the order.
Right. I don't know if we specified, but we're talking about the interior open until 5 a.m.
Yeah, that is.
Interior. Yeah. I mean, it's not a condition. I think it goes without saying.
It's a right.
Yeah.
It's a right, so it doesn't even really need to be part of it. Correct us if we're wrong, because it's a right to stay open until 5 a.m.
We'll be silent.
Inside.
Unless the board wants to expressly say that, so I think we can be silent on that.
It's not a condition. They're not here asking us if they can do that.
Yeah.
They have the right to do it. So.
All right. Do I need to clean that up, or I already did it a few times?
We got it.
But I'm sure our city attorney, Mr. Belush, can clean it up correctly. So. All right. So we have a motion by Mr. Nagler. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Aronson. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Nay.
Okay, you needed 5 votes.
That would fail.
4-2,
we'd have to have a motion to reconsider. And then, we have to have a motion to reconsider?
Yes. Correct.
Okay, someone on the nay side has to reconsider? Or can you?
How does that work?
It's the ones that voted in favor.
Or are we allowed to ask the nays their main concerns? Is that appropriate as far as the right order to do it? Ask them what their concerns were for their nays?
They pretty much expressed their nays, but if they want to expand upon it, there's no...
Silvers or Ms. Malakoff?
I express my concerns.
I would like to ask Commissioner Silvers to be a bit more specific, because it seems to me that with the recessed wall in the back, mm-hmm. and a new wall being put up.
Is your mic on? Yeah, there you go.
And with the garden area being set up and the limitation of parking back there just being a handicapped and for staff, I'm wondering how the effect and ingress and egress being from the Alton Road side. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure I fully understand your objection on behalf of the Flamingo Park neighborhood.
Okay, you want to, Mr. Silvers?
Okay. Like I said before, my concern has been maintaining the value of the homes behind the property,
right,
east of the property. And I have great concerns about this type of operation. No matter how good their reputation has been over the last 25 years, and I applaud you for that they have no control over their customers, and customers now and the customers in the future. And there is a sort of a homeless problem around, I guess, after Lime is closed, and there's some homeless issues around there, which would only perpetuate and increase possibly the homeless in that area. So I have... two major concerns: the values of the residences of the area. And I'm a homeowner, and I've seen my values of my home dramatically increase over the last 45 years in my house. So I would not like to put an establishment that could hinder the increase in value and hurt the tax base of homeowners in the city of Miami Beach in that neighborhood.
Mr. Chairman.
And yep. That's my concern.
Thank you. Ms. Malikoff?
I move to reconsider.
Okay, we have a move to reconsider by Commissioner Malikoff. So do we re-pull the vote, or
you would need a second.
Okay, but before we do that, I want to make a comment to respond to Mr. Silvers. You know, everybody is noticed within, what's the square footage that everyone gets a notice?
375 feet.
So all the people that live behind there got noticed, and everybody knows the name. Everyone knows the name in the city of Miami Beach of the organization. So I would think, I understand what you're saying, Mr. Silvers, but I would think if there was a concern, there'd be a horde of residents in here. I think you can't look at your own personal situation and where you are. I personally don't think it's going to affect the value either way. So we have a motion on the floor to reconsider. Do I hear a second?
You need a second.
Okay, second by Mr. Aronson. Can we do a roll call on this, Mr. Belush, please?
This is just a motion to reconsider. Mr. Silvers?
No. Oh, yes.
To reconsider.
Mr. Aronson?
On the motion to reconsider? Yes.
Ms. Malikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Nagler?
Yes.
Mr. Asion?
Yes.
And Mr. Goldberg?
Yes. Okay, so
we're back on the table. Now open it for
additional discussion. Thank you, Ms. Malikoff.
I would like to move the item, and I want to say why I voted no in the first place. I've been campaigning for 2 a.m., so to me it seems like against my principle voting for Abbey, which is a well-thought-of, wonderful brewing company. I'm not no objection per se to your operation, but just in general, to vote for a 5 a.m. closing on general principles. But I really do think that the rules of the city are going to change, and if they do, you'll have to go to 2 a.m. as well. So I like to re-motion the item and have another vote.
Thank you, Ms. Malikoff. Any other discussion from the board?
Just to clarify, that would include the conditions that were
10 and 11 for the outdoors, yes.
And remove the condition regarding the closing at 2 a.m. for the indoor portion.
Correct.
Do I have a second to that motion?
Second.
Second by Mr. Asion.
All in favor?
All in favor.
Do a roll call?
Do a roll call. Mr. Silvers?
No. Yeah.
Mr. Aronson?
Yes.
Mr. Nagler?
Yes.
Mr. Asion?
Yes.
Ms. Malikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Goldberg?
Yes.
That motion passes 5-1.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good luck.
Thank you.
Good luck. Any other business or good and welfare? Good luck. Okay, with no other business, motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Okay, thank you, everybody. We had a little bit of excitement this month, huh?
Yeah. Just to remind everybody, our next meeting.
This meeting.
Our next meeting is just in a few weeks, May 5th.